glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, May 27th, 2022, and we have a studio audience with us again. It's so fun to have friends and co-laborers, ministry partners in the studio with us. Last week, we launched the first ever, if you will, live audience being a part of Mark and Friends, and so we're doing it again. We had such a good time, and as Pastor Jason and I talked about it afterwards, we think maybe the best part was about the half hour or hour or so conversation after the program where everyone maybe felt more relaxed and shared and testified to different things. Even my wife, Holly, spoke up and shared some of her faith journey, and that got CJ really fired up because CJ's a Gideon that hands out Bibles. Well, it was a Bible that Holly had picked up in a hotel after coming to the United States that really touched and brought healthy conviction and hope and insight into God's love for her. So all that sharing took place. And in fact, those that came earlier today, we've already discussed and covered topics about China, about biking, favorite foods, gas prices, the open house that happened last Saturday. Some wanted to know how it turned out. And so we had some wonderful conversations. So I appreciate these friends in the studio. Today, we're going to be talking about what is the mission of the church. And today, along with all the Mark and Friends programs, are archived at greatnewsradio.org under the Mark and Friends tab. Last week, we talked about what is the Bible, and you can access that program. I thought we had a lot of great feedback from those that were a part of the conversation. I don't want to call you guys our audience because that makes it look like we're the focus because we're all joining in this together, but last week, there was a lot of great discussion going on. Next week, we'll talk about what is revival. So I'm excited to have some of you join us next week. Find out more at our website, greatnewsradio.org. You'll see a Mark and Friends logo about live audience participation, and you can fill out the little form just so we know you're going to be here. In fact, today we're going to be serving Portillo's chocolate cake, but we also, Jason, have carrot sticks and strawberries. Mm. So we have healthy and not so healthy, but all tasty. And so excited about the group that's here today. And I won't do this every week, but we're a smaller group today, so I feel the freedom of being able to do a shout out for some of you. Dean Hull, who's going to be our special speaker for the Ministry Leaders Network next Thursday, and that's where anywhere from 20 to 30 or so pastors and ministry leaders come together. He's going to be speaking on money, ministry, and magnanimity. How do you fund the ministry work that the church does, or how do you help fund long-term ministry work and those that are serving the Lord? So he's going to share that with the Ministry Leader Network. And I should also point out, Dean's a part of Thrivent Financial. He and his East Central Illinois team, and that beautiful Great News Media sign that's right out front, that was a donation that was supported and built and put together because of the Thrivent team here in East Central Illinois. So we thank Dean for that and the various roles he's played in supporting some of the things we've done, outreach concerts and underwriting some of the costs of different events. So thank you, Dean, for joining us. Janine Keller has been a longtime friend. In fact, I told her as soon as she came in, I still have a picture in our home studio of Jason, you, and I on the Sea of Galilee getting ready to get into the boat or out of the boat. It's a favorite photo, and you've joined our ministry on trips to Israel, trips around the country. You've been an active, engaged, involved volunteer and helper and supporter and a great friend, and so appreciate you, Janine. Holly doesn't want to be introduced, but she's my beloved wife. She's sitting a little further back away from the microphone, but Holly is here. And Alaric Schaffley is here. He has a little bit of a radio background. Was it at Parkland College? Who did you do some of your radio training with?
Maggie Brown.
And was that with another radio station?
Yeah, she was my job coach with BSC for quite some time.
Okay, so you got some radio training. He comes in and helps set up for the Singing Men of GNN early many times and volunteers and assists and sings with the Singing Men of GNN. And returning from last week, Dwayne Berkey, number one volunteer in the Fisher-Foosland area that helps out just about every day. And he's the one I call on at midnight or early in the morning when there might be a radio issue. And he's helped and served for a number of years, still delivers Tootsie Pops and helps out in any way he can. We appreciate Dwayne Berkey so very much. And Pastor Jason Schiffo joins me, as is the practice on Friday. We pray up the program, and then we're going to talk about the topic, what is the mission of the church? But by way of recap, as Jason pulls out his Bible and we get ready to talk about what is the mission of the church, on Monday I had Donna Leland and Joyce Minkey in the Springfield studio. We got to announce Joyce Minkey as our new station manager for the WLUJ family of stations, and so appreciate Donna Leland and her being a part of our team. On Tuesday, we had the Doctors Hendricks in the studio. That was our home studio, Dr. Jeremy and Dr. Christine Hendricks, talking about the GAP program, God's Alternative Program for graduating seniors, and having them involved in growing and flourishing and being discipled for a year before they either go on to college or other callings that the Lord has on their lives. On Wednesday, we had a special guest, Jan Matthew, drove in from the Decatur area. She read her article in the beloved Prime Life Times that was titled, What the Disease Didn't Steal, a very heartfelt writing, recounting of her dad going through ALS. And we're going to have her back probably for Testimony Tuesday. We so appreciated her and being a part of things. Yesterday, Thursday, Tim Nelson shared some delightful music and some devotional thoughts and read listener letters. And then today is Friday with our special guests in the studio. So appreciate everyone. And Pastor Jason, you chose what is the mission of the church as we tried to plan out at least a few weeks worth of these topics. Why start with talking about the church after talking about the Bible?
Because the Bible is God's revelation to us. It tells us who God is and who we're supposed to be. And so when we gather together, we gather around God's Word. We gather around the worship of God. And so how we gather matters. And what we say about ourselves and how we identify ourselves, what our identity is, says a whole lot about how we gather, who we are. And so I think it's important that we understand or at least have a good conversation about what is the church. I mean, if we go around town right now, we're in Champaign, Urbana. You know, you drive around Champaign, Urbana. How many different churches do you guys think that there are in Champaign, Urbana?
Probably at least 50.
Okay, so at least 50. And of those 50, what are some different kinds that there are out there?
You mean like the different denominations?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, several.
Yeah, several. And so when you drive down the street and you see a particular kind of church, do we say, ah, there's the Church of Jesus Christ? Ah, there's the Church of Jesus Christ. Ah, there's the Church of Jesus Christ. What do we say?
It's where the Methodists go, the Lutherans, the Baptists, whatever.
Right, yeah. We actually, this is why I think this conversation is so important, we actually define the places that we gather in by the thing that divided us. Oh my goodness. Now we're cooking. We actually define the places that we gather by the thing that divided us. Now, some of those divisions were good, so I don't want to, we're not painting this as being a negative thing. Some of those divisions were around heresy or theology or, you know, missteps that people were taking. And we said, well, we can't follow you in that. You're denying something that is crucial and central to who we are as the followers of Jesus. But sometimes we divided because we didn't like the color of the carpet. Sometimes we divided because those folks wanted dark roast on Sunday morning and we were light roast kind of people. Some people divided because they didn't like the music, or some people raised their hands too high in the air.
Or because it's wine or grape juice for communion.
Yep, wine or grape juice or communion, yep. Some people divided around a person or a particular tribe. And so I think that it's so important that we have this conversation, because the Bible talks about what the church is prior to there being division, prior to there being this sense of you're over here and you're Baptist and you're over here and you're this. And listen, we bolster those conversations. My brother-in-law is a Methodist pastor, and he'll tell me unashamedly once a year, he gives a sermon called Why It's Great to Be a Methodist, which kind of bolsters up what it means to be a Methodist and why Methodism is so important. And I know Baptists who consistently throughout their cycle of preaching the word will reference the Baptist faith and message. I know Lutherans who will talk about Martin Luther and who sometimes will talk about him with greater zeal than they will talk about Jesus Christ. And that's not just Lutherans, but that could be people who are just in the Reformed movement who love to talk about Luther or Calvin or Spurgeon or all these names. And those names begin to eclipse the only name that is above all names, that name which every knee will bow and every tongue will declare. And so it's important that we talk about how we gather, because if we don't, then we will define that for ourselves. We'll define that about what identity we like, what we're comfortable with, what we're theologically aligned with. We will begin to parse that out. And the reasons that we have 380, I think it is 380,000, or I forget what it is, but we have a lot of different denominations, is because we disagreed here. And so we said, well, you know, we really can't go together anymore. So you go over here and we'll go over here. And then these guys over here go, you know what? I don't know if we still agree. So you go over there and we'll go over here. And pretty soon we have a church on every corner in every town. And there is something good about that. And there is something not so good about that. And this is why I say that there's something not good about that. Because the most substantive thing that we have in the Bible from Jesus regarding his prayer life is a prayer where Jesus prays that they would be one, just as the Father and the Spirit and I are one. He prays for the unity of the church. And yet the church, if we're being very honest with ourselves, and I think the church needs to be honest or else we become hypocrites. If the church is very honest, one of the things we have done historically very well is divide. We have done very well. We've divided from culture. We've divided from each other. We've divided on all kinds of things. And we need to own that and understand that, because the Lord's call for us is to be united. And I know this only because of my history. I came from a very Reformed background who made it a habit to say, these people are all wrong. They're our enemies. There's nothing that they can do that is right. And chances are they're probably all going to hell. And here's the problem that I had, is at some point I decided that I needed to talk to those people, because what I realized is that the broad brushing kind of thing never really worked when you actually got to talk to somebody. They didn't fit in that neat box. And when you actually got to talk to them, you go, wait a second, I'm pretty sure you love Jesus. I'm pretty sure you love him a lot. And I can't find fault other than that we don't agree on maybe a secondary theological issue. You think that we should share the cup instead of each take an individual cup, or you think that we should eat a cracker instead of tear off from the same piece of bread, or you think that the baby should be sprinkled with a little bit of water rather than be dunked all the way under. And so those are all issues that I think that at some point we may get to heaven and Jesus will go, you guys were all wrong. Ah, come on, let's do the Bible study. But I would love to hear from you guys what you think church is, and maybe even your experience of church, good, bad, and other. What is the church, and what is the church's mission in the world? So as the church gathers and then scatters, what is the church supposed to be?
Because you talk about what is the church, you know. So as the Bible says, we are the church. We represent Jesus on earth. The mission of the church should be like what Jesus taught us. You know, we love God, love people, and make disciples. That's mm-hmm. what we should do.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Well, I think it comes down to the simple, in the Bible talks about where two or three are gathered, so it's as simple as the church is two or three people gathered together to mm-hmm. praise God, up to what we do with corporate worship that is mm-hmm. today. Every denomination has its own little idiosyncrasies with how they worship or what they believe. And again, a lot of it, like you said before, is where's your comfort zone? What brings you to God? Is it this or that, or what is it? And I've been in the same denomination since I was baptized, and I will remain in that denomination just because I hate change. So I know what denomination I'm in.
Sure.
But the reality is, a lot of it has to do with your comfort zone and what you've been brought up with over the years, and where does that faith take you? So converting from one denomination to another is never a bad thing if that denomination fits your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, God wants us to bring all people together. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter who, what, when, or where, all people. Go make disciples, as Holly said, go make disciples of all nations. What does that mean? It means exactly that. Our job is to preach the gospel and bring people into that comfort zone, is how I feel about it.
I know so many times, Jason, people think of the church as that building located at this property, mm-hmm. but really the church is wherever we're at. We carry the church with us. We are the church. And one thing that's kind of interesting, and I learned this on a trip to Israel, stained glass in like a liturgical service or some of the more ritual things never ministered to me. Put me out on the mountainside overlooking the Sea of Galilee. That's God's creation, and that's where I worship. But what I found with one individual, he loved the stained glass, and he loved going into one of the Catholic churches we visited, and he left so refreshed and filled up and blessed, and I was like, wow, I'll have to look at this a little differently, because it didn't minister to me. I wanted to be out in nature, but he loved the ritual and some of the things that he identified with. And I was like, wow, God really can use everything. So I had to be really careful that just because I wasn't blessed by the church or the situation with the stained glass and how it was set up, he really did.
Mm-hmm. I want to land on something that Dean said, because Dean said that the mission of the church or the job of the church is to preach the gospel. And I would hope that no matter how we defined our denominational structure or identity in terms of how we gather, that that would be central to what it means to be the church, the mission of the church. But I want to push back a little bit, Dean, and I want to ask, what then does that look like? What does it look like to preach the gospel?
Well, anytime we have the opportunity, whether that's one-on-one with someone you touch every day, or for some people, they're blessed to have the gifts to go out in front of a large audience. So you look at what Billy Graham did over all those years. I think to each one of us, God asks us to use our spiritual gifts in whatever way that he has chosen to give you those gifts to have that conversation with a person. What does that look like? I mean, is that going and raking your neighbor's yard and showing the love of Christ in that way? Again, there's no right or wrong way, I don't think, as long as you're doing it in a Christ-like way.
I would agree. And I think that we miss that. Janine, you want to say something?
Well, I was just going to say that I think the church is a group of people that show the love of Christ, invite people in to learn more about God and more about Jesus, and show the love through service or action or help or, like Dean said, food, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So I love these two things that you guys are saying together, because both of them, I think, actually echo one another in a way. They both actually come together to form an even greater argument for who we are as a mission of the church. One of the things I did in the last couple of years is I wanted to go back and look at the early church, because Dean, you're a numbers guy, read the book of Acts. And as we go through the book of Acts, numbers are being added together. So if you're a numbers guy, if you like to count numbers, the book of Acts is great, right? Thousands are coming here. 3,000 come after Peter preaches, and then more people are added and more people are added. And I had a friend once who did a little line graph. And I mean, the numbers of people who grow throughout the Gospels is just amazing, who come to Christ and understand who he is. But what's fascinating is that we would say that in terms of preaching the gospel, evangelism is right up there in front of what the church should be doing. And yet when we studied the early church, they didn't have an evangelism strategy or program like we did. The idea that the early church had was to live such a compelling life in Christ that it was undeniable to everybody, that they would leave behind everything to come and live that kind of life. That's why Acts 2:42 through 47 is so important. And what we tend to do is we tend to import that piece of scripture and say, well, this is what church should look like as it gathers together. I don't think so. I think that actually Acts 2:42 through 47 says far more about when they scatter, because the word all keeps appearing there. And the word all is not inclusive to just Christians. It's inclusive to all the people they encountered and all the places that they went. They sold their stuff publicly, and they gave their stuff away to anyone who needed it, including the pagans and the heathens and the unbelievers. Why? Because when you get something from somebody who you've just talked trash about all day long and all week long, you go, why? Well, let me tell you why. And so it's this compelling life that they had that actually led so many people to Christ. You know, the early church was not about, hey, come to church on Sunday morning and you'll love it. They were like, come to my house, sit down at my table, meet my wife. Now, why do I think that that's so important? Is because you can come to church on Sunday morning and, man, I can kill it for an hour. I can probably kill it for an hour. I can preach good. I can do all those kinds of things good. But come to my house where I have to deal with my wife and my kids. Come to my house where things are not buttoned up and looking as good as they can be. Come to my house where things are messy. And you really learn a lot about people. But you know what you also learn about people when you go to their houses? You learn all the other beautiful things. You probably will see at some point when you come to my house that I love to kiss my wife on the back of the neck and tell her I love her. If you come to my house, you'll see that I love to try to encourage my kids. You'll see how I correct my kids. You'll see a bunch of things that you'll never see on a Sunday morning in church. See, the problem, I think, with our idea of church is this, is that we bring people to church and we only show them a small, small glimpse of what the Christian life really is like. And they leave and they go, well, that's great, but I don't really ever find myself doing liturgy during the week. And I don't really find myself standing up and singing a song because there's no worship band at my house. And they go, and I listened to the message, but I wasn't really sure how that works with my boss, who I really don't like that much. But when we get one-on-one, when we get together, we begin to rub off on one another and we begin to see a part of the Christian life that we can never share on Sunday morning. It's just very hard to do just because of the way Sunday morning is structured. Listen, Sunday morning is rows, and rows are great. But you know what's more powerful than a row? A circle, where everybody faces one another, where everybody talks to one another. A circle, which is very much like a kitchen table, where people get around the table and they talk to one another and they do life together and they laugh. And at some point they weep. At some point they celebrate. At some point they suffer. At some point they do all the things that Christ came and modeled for us to do. And it happens in the context of where they can be loved in a very intimate and beautiful way. And that's something that doesn't happen, unfortunately, on a building on a Sunday morning, because it's just not structured that way. And yet, we have to be careful, because I think when we say church, we default to that, right? And by the way, as a guilty party, I'll just say this. Myself and most pastors that I know spend the majority of their week putting all their eggs in that Sunday morning basket, trying to make sure that Sunday morning is everything that it can be, because that's when everybody's going to show up. And the problem is that the most powerful things I've found in my 11 years of being here don't happen on Sunday morning. There is the odd Sunday morning where you're like, wow. But for the most part, it happens at other times. It happens one-on-one. It happens in a coffee shop. It happens along the way, which is why I think Jesus kept talking about ministry along the way. In the book of Acts, we see ministry along the way.
And that's one of the reasons or goals of these Friday gatherings on Wednesday is to bring people together to have a little small group kind of discussion. I think last week after our program ended, you ended up saying this is what church is all about, just the sharing and the transparency and the friendship making. And thank you, Pastor Jason. Next week, we're going to be talking about what is revival. And if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at WLUJ.org under the Mark and Friends tab. Come be a part of the fellowship and let's learn together. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.